TJ, we need a screen within a screen.
We have worked under unsafe, unsanitary conditions for far too long.
Yep. Is all that we see Me and Paul petition you, TJ, within a screen?
We want a screen within a screen, and we want an updated, not just a deep fat fry thing. We want a flash fried template overlay, TJ. Mm. When do we want it? We want it right fucking now. We want you to make that as we speak.
That's this week's flash fried.
Go ahead.
Get to work. Me and Scotty are going to supervise you.
No, that's all right.
We're going to supervise you, as you fix this all up.
No, I don't think so.
You know what, TJ?
Yeah.
I'm giving you one last chance to do it.
I'm giving you one last chance.
If not, then I'm going to come over there, TJ, and physically assault you.
To go.
I have an ultimatum, too. I'm giving you one last chance to do it, or I'm going to sit here and do the normal show that we plan to do anyway.
There you go.
All right. Well,
what are you going to do?
Fuck, I guess I better do it. I wouldn't want to have to do that normal show we already planned
on
doing.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
What are you doing? Don't do it.
He's going to beat your fucking ass to a pulp.
Don't do it.
Look at TJ's defensive posture. I love TJ's defensive posture. You're going to get flicked, TJ.
God, why? No!
God damn.
Fuck with me, TJ. The flick of doom.
No.
The flick of doom.
If anybody's ever been flicked by Scotty, they know.
Oh, no.
Dude, I bet I can flick harder than anybody here. I bet I got the best flick.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
do you have the best flick? Do you think you have? Because I have a flick.
I don't have a strong flick.
Okay. You want my hardest flick?
Yep. That's pretty good.
It's not a bad flick. You know how I do it?
Boom.
I don't do this. A lot of people want to cock back like that. I put it up higher. So that finger flings out faster. You gotta give it a try. Here you go. I'll give you some bear skin. Flick it up. That's not a bad flick.
I don't know.
I bet it's twice as hard as TJ's flick.
Let me see your flick, TJ.
I really don't have a good one.
Give Scotty your hardest flick.
Damn, he actually has a good dude. You know what? Because his finger's so fat. That actually was a good flick, TJ. I'm surprised.
You got a good flick off?
I was surprised. I mean, I thought it would suck. So
no, actually, it wasn't bad.
Dude, we need to have a competition one time to see who can take the most Indian rope burns.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Dude, have you guys ever done the Indian rope burn on each other?
Yeah.
You guys are brothers. You guys did the Indian rope burn.
Oh, that's like my go-to thing against TJ.
Who can take the most Indian rope burn torture?
I don't want it.
Or we could start playing that old game we used to play back in school. We had a game called Open Chest.
Where
you could punch somebody in the chest if they weren't like covering their chest. So you had to like walk around like this.
Wow, I'm
like
glad
a pharaoh.
I'm really glad I'm not at the age where such stupid games are played.
I miss those ages. I wish that's what I was doing with my life, was playing Open Chest and Indian Rope Burn.
And you know what it evolved to? Like, this is all past our time, though, but it was nut tapping. When that came a big thing, like, people would get nut tapped like crazy.
I got out of the game when nut taps came around. That's a step too far.
Yeah, I know. I was like, man, I just start wearing a fucking cup or something.
Shut up, Toyota ad.
That's a step too far for me.
Yeah, you don't touch a man's fucking nuts.
You don't not touch like a that. Man's
I mean,
nuts
look, if you want to caress those nuts, sure, but if you want to fucking do damage to those nuts, you don't want to do that.
We used to have, like, arm punching fights too, like sock fights where you take a punch in the arm and then you give one back, you know what I mean, until the other guy cries uncle. Brutal shit, man. But you know what, it hardened me up for life.
It hardened you
now up. They don't let kids do shit like that in school anymore. It's bullshit.
Let you know what was what
when the liberals took over. What happened?
Fucking liberals.
Let you know what was what in
turning
life.
Out all these soft ass millennial kids. It's like, get out of here.
Got toughen up. Play Bloody Knuckles. You gotta do fucking shit.
I remember Bloody Knuckles.
Bloody Knuckles. That's a tough one. Yeah.
The other one also, you slam someone's hand. Like, you gotta do like this. You slam. Oh, dude, it hurts so bad. And you have to keep going and going. And it's like, eventually one person would bitch out. And of course, you have a group of people gather around going, oh! The minute you give up, you're like, fuck, man.
You gotta prove your dominance in this life. You
gotta
know what
prove
I mean?
You're a true man.
That's what we're missing. More displays of dominance.
Yeah, we need more dominance displays. God damn it.
Other animals do it, man. Why
I'm
not
thump
humans?
My chest.
Thump that chest, Paul. Thump that chest. So last night, we sat and did the debate.
Ow, I'm probably going to bruise this.
Last night we did the debate. It was horrible. It was probably the worst one yet.
And didn't they give us a nice little party
favor,
TJ?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, we're
going to build up to that. We'll let people know about that in a minute.
Fair enough.
But the first thing I wanted to look at was a moment in the debate. Well, it was immediately after the debate. It was on our screen. We just were fucking blathering. We didn't even fucking see it happen.
Can you blame us?
Yeah, I mean, we were by that point we were done and dead.
We were traumatized at that point.
But basically, here's what happened. So this is the moment you're going to see Bernie go in for the handshake with Elizabeth Warren, who there's been some contention between them.
Now, I like how Bernie's looking, Elizabeth Warren. He's kind of like, huh, I took your best shot.
He looks like he's wondering if she's going to come attack him.
Yeah, so she basically is going to refuse the handshake, and there's going to be some tense words between them. We're going to see that.
And have you talk about, this was after the debate, this moment between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer happens upon the scene.
Tom Steyer's just
this
fucking...
This is one of those things...
Tom Steyer's like,
look at him.
This is awkward.
He doesn't know what to do.
The he's camera like, C-SPAN style, but they didn't.
Bernie, good to see
Bernie
you.
Bernie does a little cursory Tom Steyer. Yeah, all right. And he, Bernie basically fucks off after that. He's like, all right, I'm gone.
See, it would have been cooler if Warren would have done the whole, like, reach out for the hand and then...
Oh, yeah, you got. That's how you got to do it, man.
No.
You got to have that, like, Ric Flair kind of flair where you're like, woo!
So, let's take a little closer look at this bit by bit. Bernie sticks his hand out. She doesn't take it. She's like,
no.
Bernie extends the olive branch, and Warren just smacks it away.
She's mad because he basically called her a liar.
Right. And
that's got to be what this is about.
I mean, she is. I mean, he pretty much provided a mountain of evidence that he never said that. Two of the people familiar with the meeting never said that. The New York Times article that reported on the meeting at the time it happened said that neither candidate discouraged the other
her from
running.
Her campaign put that out and lied to begin with. So Bernie
she's
just...
the one who leaked the fucking thing.
Yeah.
So basically, this has all been a giant smear against Bernie Sanders orchestrated by Elizabeth Warren. And there's a mountain of evidence to prove it. It's all out there for anybody who wants to see it to go and look up. It's not just speculation. It's not just, I'm a Bernie fanboy, so
Bernie
I believe
bro.
Bernie.
You're the fucking Bernie, bro.
I mean, doesn't it even sound like something Bernie would say?
Even
fuck no.
You know, even Donald Trump has weighed in on this and said, you know, I don't like Bernie, but that doesn't sound like something he'd say. So.
The only thing less likely than pigs growing wings and flying is a woman becoming president.
So anyway. A lot of people have done some lip reading kind of shit to this.
Oh, really? They want to find out what's.
Yeah,
what's
they
want to
know. They want to know what was said. Now it's really no one really knows what Warren said because she's just not at the right angle to figure it out. But there's a people are pretty sure about what Bernie said here.
Oh, really?
So right there is obviously like a.
This is one of those things.
So this is the point where people are pretty sure right here. There's a point right here where he points to her. He points back and forth between him and her. And what people have said that he said is, you and me, we're done. Okay? And then he walks off.
You and me, we're done?
Yeah.
Shit, dude.
Take a look.
They broke up?
Take a look here.
Also, Bernie's pissed and Warren is pissed.
This is one of those things that we love about...
You clearly tell.
So hold on. Let's go back. Let's just show you this.
This is one of those things that we love about politics that we wish...
I mean, he definitely said you and me.
Yeah.
Look at Buttigieg back there. He's like, ooh, he overheard it too.
Oh, yeah. He's
look at him.
Damn.
He's like, damn. He's got them eyebrows straight up in the air like, ooh, girl. Damn. Awkward.
Oh, he's gossiping right now. Oh, you'll never believe what Bernie said.
And look at Tom Steyer just like a booger on the wall hanging out over there.
They asked him about it, and he's like, oh, you know, there was some tension. He didn't elaborate as to what
of
exactly
course.
Said.
He's dude, not... you know CNN probably had those mics being recorded somewhere. They should just release it.
Yeah.
Hot mic these motherfuckers.
Release the tapes,
CNN. I think every one of these candidates should have to walk around with a lapel mic on at all times. I should be able to hear what Bernie's talking about to himself while he's taking a dump in the morning.
So in light of Elizabeth... I mean, so let's just go through a quick timeline here. Elizabeth Warren, all of a sudden... couple weeks before Iowa, wait a minute, I just had this memory recall of the time in 2018 when Bernie said a woman can't win. I just remembered that happened.
Convenient.
She puts it out there.
Isn't it convenient when Bernie's surging in the polls, too?
Yeah. Bernie's looking like he's going to win Iowa and New Hampshire and all these other states.
Wait a minute.
I just remembered something. So she puts it out there. The media runs with it because they're fucking hacks.
Right. They're all anti-Bernie.
Right. And then the question's brought up here. Bernie rightfully points out, hey, there's tons of videos online of me saying a woman can be president. There's one from 1988. There's one from fucking 30 years ago when I'm talking to some kids, and I'm talking to the kids about how, you know, women can be the president. There's the fact that he told Elizabeth Warren to run, in 2015, and he encouraged her to run against Hillary, and when she didn't, that's when he started his own campaign. So he was first trying to make her the champion, like, someone needs to go out there and have a more progressive message than this bitch. And he chose her to do that, and when she said, nah, I don't think I want to oppose the Hillary machine, he's like, fuck it, I'll do it.
Well, do you remember the original Bernie smear that came?
There's an article in the New York Times from 2018.
Well, no, not that. Not
well, hold
that.
On, but I'm just building more of the case here. There's an article in the New York Times from 2018 talking about this very meeting that she's describing, where the New York Times says that they had a meeting, but neither of these candidates said or did anything to discourage the other from running. Mm-hmm. And that was written at the time. So this is totally fucking fictitious. Total fucking fiction.
Well, didn't Bernie want Elizabeth Warren to run in 2016?
Yes, I just said that.
That's what I'm saying. So Bernie encouraged her then. This has been a typical smear against Bernie. For some reason, they really want to nail on Bernie on being sexist. Because remember that he wrote that article, I think was it the 60s or 70s or something?
Yeah.
Where it was like, he said there was something about rape fantasies, or said they were normal, and then people were like, no.
Well, he wrote like a fucking article. It wasn't even an opinion. It was like a fucking creative writing piece.
If you want to go look at the statistics on the amount of women who have rape fantasies, it's tremendous. It's like 30-something percent of women.
Yeah, but even so.
So this is not a controversial
It wasn't like Bernie
statement.
Was advocating rape
and
or
he,
something.
Yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous to fucking try to categorize it as like, oh.
Let me be clear. In my view, rape is fine. You know, it wasn't like he said
I think that, you know, it's fine to rape a bitch.
You know what it is? It's like the Bernie Bros thing. They've always just tried to type Bernie into, like, this is just a white male movement, which is a bunch of dudes, and they're fine with rape, and they're fine with being misogynist, they're fine with being sexist. That's what Bernie's about.
Yeah, of course. So here is Bernie, 1988, city of Burlington. This is a recently, kind of recirculating clip of him in 1988 talking about the possibility of a woman president.
Let me talk a little bit about Jackson. What Jackson has going against them is not primarily, in my view, is not primarily that he's black. I mean, there are some people who won't vote for somebody who's black, and that's that. That's a minority. And I think one of the changes, you know, if people think I'm dumping on the United States, let me say that one of the nice changes that has taken place in the last 20 or 30 years is that, in fact, a person like Jesse Jackson can run for president of the United States and be taken seriously. Who would have thought about that 20 years ago, a black person running? I think the issue is not a racial issue. I think it's a class issue. Okay? I think if you had a conservative black person, somebody say like a Mayor Good of Philadelphia running, I think the business community would put money into his campaign and would say, boy, it's time for a black president. The real issue is not whether you're black or white, whether you're a woman or a man. In my view, a woman could be elected president of the United States. The real issue is, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of workers and poor people, or are you on the side of big money and the corporations? Jackson is on the side of poor people and working people.
I mean, talk about consistent messaging.
Right.
Yeah.
A dude that's had like a long political career and really has just kind of stuck to his principles. Like it's also kind of shocking how much Bernie sounds like himself from 1988 still. Like,
right.
My whole age argument, I mean, he's a little slower now, I think, but he still kind of talks the same exact way.
So Bernie here, setting all that aside, I mean, like,
Thirty-one years ago, Bernie was saying that it was possible for a woman to be president.
Right, so are we to believe that in 1988, he said it. I mean, I've already gone through the fucking litany of reasons why this thing he supposedly said is just outright fabricated. There's no fucking possible goddamn way he said that. And as a result of that sort of bullshit going on, so let's look at first the reaction of Twitter, I guess. So, ha ha ha, after the debate, Bernie fans get hashtag Warren is a snake, hashtag never Warren, and hashtag CNN is trash trending. All of those were trending last night. I was active on all those hashtags because I'll be honest with you, Paul, like, you're lucky you don't really have a horse in this race.
Uh-huh.
Because, as someone who supports Bernie Sanders, like, last night, I was literally too angry to sleep.
Fuck.
I literally was
That's
up.
Why I don't have a horse.
I was literally up all night just like, fuck CNN, fuck Elizabeth Warren, those fucking pieces of shit.
Another one that I didn't even mention is before this, when all this thing originally came out, was Refund Warren, dude.
Yeah, Refund Warren was trending at one point.
I mean, there have been
giving people instructions about how to ask for refunds for their campaign
contributions.
And a bunch of people
did.
Yeah. Tons of people did. So this attack that Warren attempted to orchestrate against Bernie Sanders, I mean, I guess it's too early to say for certain that it's a failure, but it's not looking like it's working out for her too well.
Well, I mean, like, the Bernie's high road fucking tactic actually worked in that little exchange where we couldn't hear them. You know what I mean? He's putting his hand out. He's obviously going to put aside the rancor to shake hands with his opponent, and she can't do that. That just looks bad on her.
And she's the candidate who's going out there and be like, unity, unity, unity. Like, oh, yeah, it seems really unity-oriented when you can't even shake your opponent's hand.
Warren is a snake, dude. That's great.
So, yeah, Warren was a snake was the number one trend. Which I feel is an insult to snakes, but, yeah, I can imagine, you know, there's a bunch of various tweets. I don't really care about what these specific tweets say, but I think it is cool that all that got trending. So on top of that, even mainstream media outlets have been, I mean, like, I don't know if you guys have watched any MSNBC lately, but they have been one of the most anti-Bernie networks out there because they're just they're basically just the corporate media arm of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're mouthpiece for the Democratic Party.
So, you know, you'd expect, but I think the bias that was shown by CNN the other night was even seems to be too much for them.
Well, seeing, I think the groundswell of support behind Bernie, it makes sense. Like, they're hedging their bets a little bit as well.
So let's take a look at this piece that came out of MSNBC this morning. I think this is from Joe Scarborough's show, if I'm not mistaken.
Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
How do you feel when
what
Senator Sanders?
I feel so bad for Bernie looking at his face. After they say that.
I mean, yeah, they go to him, and then they're like, how do you feel when he did it?
I mean, just look at that fucking, just like, bemused smile of just like, wow. It's like that, huh?
See, but this is a fail for Bernie, though. This is a fail for Bernie, because he should have said, that's ridiculous that you just asked those two questions back to back, and your bias is clearly showing. Like, he needed to go after CNN last night.
Oh, my God. He
desperately needed to point out what everybody could see was happening. Which is, like, literally every question he got asked was framed as an attack on his character, his platform.
You know why? You know why I think he's reluctant to do that? Because whose playbook has that been from? Donald Trump.
I think there are ways that he could have done it that would have not even really emulated Trump at all.
Well, I agree with you. I think there's definitely other ways to criticize the media and not say, hey, the media is totally fake. But yeah, he should have pointed out the clear bias in those questions.
Let's take a look at what the talking heads on MSNBC are going to say about this, because it's almost kind of surprising.
Okay.
I am completely confused as to why it turned from Bernie Sanders saying I didn't say it to Elizabeth Warren being asked, what did you think when he said it? He says he didn't say it. So you turn to Elizabeth Warren and say, did he say it?
Bizarre.
That's the issue.
That was bizarre.
I mean, it's bizarre.
It was.
What the heck happened there? Are they listening? Because you got to listen when you do a debate.
Yeah.
And then take the question to the next candidate.
You just missed.
It was a miss.
You were waiting to go.
But this is the story.
It was a miss.
By the way, I've had conversations, private conversations taken to the press and totally manipulated for the benefit of the person who was sharing the story.
Yeah, and you're an anchor on MSNBC, so you've participated in that as well.
Yeah, you probably have.
Don't exempt yourself.
Focused on something that was said. And
I just think it's crazy that even, like, pretty much the anti-Bernie network is like, whoa.
Well,
that was too.
I mean, they're going to take a pot shot at CNN no matter what.
I mean,
of course.
They're just going to continue to do their fucking anti-Bernie shit.
But, I mean, it was like the definition of a loaded question. How did you feel when Bernie said that? I mean, that implies that there's knowledge and evidence that Bernie did say that.
Did Bernie get a question last night that wasn't a loaded question?
I mean, maybe one or two.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
90% of the questions he was asked last night were framed by, you know, should Americans have to foot the bill for your giant Medicare? You know what I mean? It was never like, there was never a good faith question lobbed at Bernie last night.
So on top of that, the Huffington Post, pretty much about as mainstream, middle of the road as you can get, also saying that CNN completely botched the Democratic presidential debate, make a lot of the same points that you just heard on MSNBC, just saying like basically the question. It was basically just so blatant there and naked and brazen their bias against Bernie Sanders. I mean, and also this article also goes on to criticize how the centrist framing of pretty much every question that was posed to these candidates.
How could you not?
Who will stand up for Insurance Town in the 2020 election?
That was one of the most ridiculous questions he got asked. Question
Why should the government do things? Will Bernie Sanders bankrupt America? Who on stage will let Iran have a nuclear weapon? You know, I mean, like, what the fuck is... Like, it's just ridiculous fucking framing of these questions. It's like, is this a Democratic debate? Like, they might as well host one at Fox News if they're going to get those kind of fucking questions.
Last night, that fucking idiot Tom Steyer fucking said, you know, we had a petition to say that we should do this shit to Trump, you know, impeach Trump. We need a petition to take fucking CNN out of the fucking, or any of these companies, out of the debate business, because they do a terrible job. It's not really a debate. It's a fucking, it's a sideshow.
Numerous people have, I've seen numerous people making that a similar point to what you've made, Scott. Like, one of the best debates that there was the one that was hosted on PBS, because there was no commercials. They covered a wide variety of questions. The framing was not ridiculous. It makes no sense that these media companies, and I could show you, I have a few more anti-CNN things I could show you from the media, but I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to skip right to this point. CNN has no, presidential politics should not be privatized for the interest of
a corporation.
Mega corporations.
They're in the national interest. And the news media clearly is part of that national interest. And so I think that taking any substantive story and monetizing it and enforcing a ban on people fucking watching it and discussing it should be fucking totally illegal.
And that brings 100%. us around to the fact that our coverage of the debate has been censored from YouTube.
By Warner Brothers and CNN.
Warner Brothers, who owns CNN, I believe, at this point. It's been blocked worldwide, ineligible for money, but as you can see, that's clearly not a new thing for us.
No.
Yeah.
CNN is basically saying that they own the presidential debate.
Yeah.
This debate to decide who may be the future leader of this entire country
is a money making.
Yeah, it's monetized. They own it. It belongs to them. How the fuck does that make sense?
One word: privatization.
Yeah, we've privatized. Basically, like, this is an issue that needs to be fucking addressed. Like, if Bernie Sanders wants to attack CNN and the media, here's your fucking angle. Why is politics, something that's in the public interest, being privatized by a giant corporation?
I mean, also,
and turned into a fucking reality show spectacle that's basically devoid of substance, and in this particular case is designed, you know, built around character assassination, and CNN literally using its power as a private company to try to
censor commentary.
Yeah, and also, but not just censor commentary, but they're trying to sway the election. They're trying to use this power that they've been given for no reason to host a presidential debate. They're trying to use that ability, or they're trying to use that privilege to try to change the outcome of the election and push the candidates that they like and attack the candidates they don't. They're trying to manipulate the democratic process.
What we did meets the standard of fair use. It's a fucking public. It's a public interest. It should not be fucking. It should not be done this way. And this is a totally bogus goddamn copyright claim. I doubt we're the only fucking YouTube channel affected by this. Where it's like, okay, we're actually commenting and critiquing what's going on in this debate, and we're just, and our voices are basically silenced because CNN just nope. We want everyone to go to CNN's YouTube page. Well, not everyone wants CNN's spin and CNN's coverage of the debate. But of course, people aren't allowed to have that now because they can use this platform and file false DMCA, false copyright claims. They shouldn't own this content.
As far as I'm concerned, they don't.
But I mean, I guess according to YouTube, they do. I mean, I guess we can appeal it, but I mean, who knows where that's going to go?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's going to turn out in our favor.
I will try, but I mean, who knows? And even if it does, how long will they fucking? Will it be 3 months until they let the video go public again?
By the time no one cares about it,
yeah,
maybe
so,
we can get it back up.
Fuck CNN. They're an obviously corrupt media organization. And you know what? As much as it fucking pains me to say it, maybe it's becoming increasingly clear that Donald Trump and other people attacking them, there is truth to that. They are fucking fake news because they won't even allow any other opinion on this matter unless you want to fucking take just a brief snippet and then comment on that.
Yeah, it's totally fucking absurd.
So I'm sure you could get away with that. I'm sure if you did a 1 minute of the debate or something, then you have a bunch of commentary. But it's like we covered the debate, but we're talking over most of the fucking debate.
The Fourth Estate is supposed to exist in order to inform the public about what's going on in the world, first and foremost. Not so that the companies that provide that news can make a giant profit. So... this is why people turn to people like us. This type of shit, people are wise to this type of shit now. Like, you may have been able to pull this fucking trick on us back 20 years ago and shit, where, you know, people had an inherent trust of these news organizations, but you've abused that trust to the point that people come to us.
People are like, what are these three stoner neckbeards? What do they have to say about it? Because I trust their word more than I trust what's going on over at fucking CNN.
And you know what, dude? We can talk ourselves down all we want. We're not fucking journalists over here. But you know what? At least what people are hearing from us is unvarnished, unfiltered, actual human opinion on what's going on. And a look at this that includes all of the fucking angles that they don't want people to look at. So fuck these people. I say we just upload this motherfucker again. It's not a strike, is it?
It's not.
Take this motherfucker down and put it up again.
Yeah, I think I might be doing that. So stay tuned on that. We'll see what we can do. I have a few ideas in my head. There'll be further announcements on what's going to happen with that debate coverage, but we're going to get it to you.
So everybody just rolls over to this shit.
We ain't.
You know what
over.
I mean? We're sitting here talking about how this is very well maybe outright illegal.
I don't know what the law has to say about it. I can only say what the law should say about it.
I mean, if there's a law out there that says that somebody can monetize something in the public interest, especially something like a presidential debate,
and
keep other people from commenting on it, abusing a fucking copyright claim system.
Well, you know,
they totally abuse the system.
Look, I have the attorney that I've used in the past for some other legal matters is a trademark lawyer. So... maybe I could talk to him and see what our case actually is in this, because it's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'd love to file a fucking lawsuit over this. I know it would be an incredibly expensive proposition, and that's why it's prohibitive for people to protect their fucking rights to comment on public interest stories. That's the barrel they have you over, but goddamn, somebody needs to step up and fucking do it.
I mean, it might not even have to go to the level of lawsuit. A strongly worded legal letter might be able to might actually get CNN to release this.
I want their money. I want them to have to pay everybody that they fuck over like this. All those ad dollars go in my pocket now, motherfucker.
Hey, maybe. I don't know.
How is this not just a step stepping right in front of our First Amendment rights?
Oh, it is.
The freedom of speech shall not be infringed.
And, you know, not only that, but, I mean, this is a presidential fucking election. I mean, like, we're basically being told, hey, you as American citizens are not allowed to offer your opinion and commentary on who's going to be president.
Only if you do it in small snippets or write a blog post.
Yeah, you can describe what happened, but you can't actually show the debate and show what happened.
Nope.
On the stage.
This would be like think about this. Like 100 years ago, this would be like people having a public meeting to discuss a news story and CNN thugs showing up and going, break this up here. Get on out of here. Quit talking.
Only CNN can give you the story.
Pretty ridiculous. Anyway, it's probably about time to move on, but you haven't heard the last of this one. Surveillance video from Jeffrey Epstein's first apparent suicide attempt no longer exists.
Whoops.
Yep.
Oopsie daisy.
Where was that tape at?
Oh, we lost it.
I can't find it.
What are you going to do? We got a lot of tapes over here.
Officials at the federal jail housing Epstein preserved video from the wrong floor because of a clerical error, prosecutors said.
Okay. It was a clerical error. You know what? This federal facility needs to be shut down. Everybody with any power over its fucking policy needs to be fired and possibly tried for destruction of evidence. This is fucking total horseshit.
So the surveillance video taken from outside Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell on the day of his first apparent suicide attempt has been permanently deleted, federal prosecutors said Thursday. So this is not footage of the actual quote-unquote suicide, right. Wink, wink.
This is the alleged suicide attempt that preceded his suicide.
Yes, correct.
His suicide.
Because no one buys that. Epstein, the disgraced financier, who was facing federal sex trafficking charges, was found semi-conscious in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, or MCC, in New York around 1:27 a.m. on July 23rd. But the video is now gone because MCC officials saved video from a different floor of the federal detention facility.
Do you know why they have to silence people like Alex Jones? They pretty much have to say you just can't be on the air. And other conspiracy theorists, because when you have shit like this happens, like how can anyone look to the official explanation and go, "Yep," and like they're content with that? You have to be a fucking retard to listen to the official version of what's happened with Epstein and go, "Yeah, you know what? That all just lines up in my mind."
As far as I'm concerned, and I've seen other people say it. If you believe the official story here, that's the conspiracy theory. Like, if you believe Epstein committed suicide, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Because the evidence does not point to that at all. Like, if I was to, like, if I could look into this moment and if I could, like, magically be a fly on the wall at that moment when Epstein died and I saw him actually killing himself, that would be what shocked me.
I know exactly what I would see if that tape exists. We would see the prison guard letting in some big fucking neck-breaking fool into Epstein's cell and strangling him to death. That's what we would see. That's what happened.
Yeah. And there's been reports. I mean, like, there's been reports about Epstein's injuries not being at all consistent with a suicide. It's way more consistent with a strangling. So, yeah, I think that's exactly what you would see. The MCC inadvertently preserved video from the wrong... Yeah, whatever.
No,
okay, so just basically lies. So just letting everybody know you're still being lied to about this. Your government's lying to you. And
what else is new?
You know? Yeah.
What else is fucking new?
Nothing.
That's why I don't have a horse in this fucking race.
Almost everyone at College Humor has lost their job.
Good.
Now, I used to like College Humor about... What, 10 years ago or something like that?
Back about 10 years ago, they were making some pretty good content.
They got real into that SJW shit. I don't know.
Is this another go woke, go broke?
I think it is, honestly.
Yeah,
let's take
it really
a look.
Is.
Layoffs have come from another online comedy outlet, one that has managed to survive on the internet despite challenges for nearly 20 years. Multiple sources have confirmed to Vulture that College Humor was hit with a big round of layoffs today. Which a rep for its parent company, IAC, has confirmed. About 100 employees in New York and Los Angeles have lost their jobs, with Bloomberg noting that around 5 to 10 people will remain at the company as it restructures under the supervision of CCO Sam Wright.
Sam alike!
Who explained the news on Twitter. So here's what he had to say. Oh my God, it's so long. All right, so bad news with a twist. IAC, our parent company, has made the difficult decision to no longer finance us. Oh yeah, it sounds like it was real difficult for them, huh? Today, 100-plus brilliant people lost their jobs, some of whom are my dear, dear friends. Hire them. That's going to help them out. The twist, however, is that IAC has agreed to let me run the company myself. What company?
So why don't you hire them back, then?
Yeah. What company, though?
They don't have any money for that.
Oh, got it.
In words that I'm sure are surreal to read as they are to type, I will soon become the new majority owner of CH Media. All right, so it's dead. It's just dead. Of course, I can't keep it going like you're used to. No shit. While we were on the way to becoming profitable,
Yeah, I mean,
any day now.
I mean, look, College Humor has been around for 20 years. If they weren't profitable yet, I mean, no wonder this company pulled the plug on financing them. Like they're not making any money.
We were nonetheless losing money, and I myself have no money to be able to lose.
You're in the entertainment business, so if you're in a business, you have to make at least break even.
Long story short, I need your support now. So this is basically going to try to get the money.
Basically, they launched a VOD service that has that's what all their hopes are at this point set on Dropout.
Maybe you shouldn't have admitted that you have no money and no resources with which to continue. I mean, because that's not it's not the greatest. I mean, like, you know, hey. Buy our VOD service. We got no employees. We got no money. We're fucked in every conceivable way.
They do have like 6 months of content, is my understanding, though.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. In these 6 months, I hope to be able to save Dropout, College Humor, Drawfeed. You need to drop all that other shit but College Humor and just if you're going to try to save some shit, try to save one thing.
Well, I want them to save Dorkly, too.
Okay,
I mean, obviously.
Fine, they could save Dorkly and College Humor, but Drawfee's got to go, Dropout's got to go. No, I think,
Dropout's kind of where they're putting all their hopes on, is what it seems to me.
Oh, is it? What is Dropout? I don't even know what that is.
College Humor, which also runs the streaming comedy service Dropout, has been owned by Barry Diller's IAC Interactive Active Corp since 2006, blah, blah, blah.
Interactive Corp, yeah.
Yeah, and they also own Vimeo, several dating sites like Match.com, Tinder, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. According to a Bloomberg report from October, IAC has been exploring a possible sale of College Humor in recent months. After Reich takes over, IAC will reportedly remain a minority stake in the company. And they said, Sam was the best choice to acquire CH Media because no one else wants it, and to find its next chapter. It was me. The decision places CH Media with an owner who is beloved by fans, passionate about the business, and sees a future we believe in. I mean, clearly, you guys didn't believe in it, though.
Unfortunately, layoffs and even complete shutdowns have been a trend for internet comedy outlets in recent years. Several rounds of layoffs took place at Funny or Die between 2016 and 2018, including the closing of the company's San Mateo engineering office and its New York office, as well as layoffs of its entire editorial team in early 2018, which preceded its partnership with Vox Media's platform later that year. NBC Universal's streaming comedy service CISO, suffered an even steeper decline, shutting down it in 2017 after less than 2 years, and then Turner's comedy site Super Deluxe shut down in 2018. Sounds like internet comedy is a tough business.
Maybe it's not funny anymore. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with comedy right now is, I really hate to say it because I know people get sick of the harping on SJW's thing, but yeah, I mean, it really is part of this whole get woke, go broke thing.
I mean, it's not just SJW shit. It's just like everything has been neutered now.
Everything's been
homogenized.
Don't offend comedians have to be free to offend people.
And if they're not,
they have to be free
to
fucking say things that make, you know, that scandalize. Go, oh, I can't believe
it. If you're politically correct in a comic, you're probably not going to make many people laugh. I'm not saying there's no one that's going to laugh at those jokes, but if you look at a lot of the comedy that's now mainstream, it's either people are going, oh, it's a little bit edgy, so I like it. It's a kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, Bill Burr or Dave Chappelle. Like, those are the specials that I've really seen blow up recently in the comedy space.
Ricky Gervais had that huge Golden Globes thing.
And that was a great speech.
Well, look at why that shit isn't being pushed, though. Especially the Gervais speech.
Yeah.
Because it's critical of the corporations that have an ever larger fucking control over what gets said and what comedy is. I think we all need to agree, corporations don't know what's funny.
No.
And it would be best if they got out of the fucking way and let funny people be funny again.
Yep.
And they're not going to do that. So
Comedy great again.
There's no lack of funny fucking people. There's no way. I refuse to believe that.
Do you think whoever managed and owned the fucking distribution rights to Bill Hicks or George Carlin's careers were editing their fucking shit before they went on? Oh, you can't say this,
George.
Mr.
Don't
Carlin.
Say. Oh no, that's going to offend people.
We're thinking about a chicken cross the road joke instead of that. What do you think?
How about,
you know
some
what I mean?
Knock,
it just wasn't happening.
Some nice knock knock jokes thrown in there.
That's why it was good. The same thing goes for like old Saturday Night Live and shit.
It was edgy.
Yeah, it was owned by a corporation, but the people that ran it were iconoclasts. They were out there making fun of the people in power, and now the people in power have utter fucking dog leash control over what funny people can and can't say, and surprise, surprise, nothing's funny anymore.
Can't believe it. Who'd have seen it coming?
So fuck College Humor. Fuck these 100 people that lost their jobs. They were making shit content that nobody wanted to watch. Get out of the way. Make room in the marketplace for somebody that wants to, I don't know, be funny.
Burger King to give Bronx residents free Whoppers for dealing with Joker stares tourists. Smart move by Burger King, I gotta say.
Man, I cannot believe that this poor neighborhood is dealing with these fucking dumbasses.
Wait, what the fuck?
That want to take Instagram pictures of themselves dancing down the Joker stairs.
Are we about to see the Burger King?
I think we are.
Okay, I
give
got
it a sec.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We gotta see this.
It looks like we are. The Bronx is still putting up with moviegoers who are flocking to the borough to climb the stairs made famous by Golden Globe winner Joaquin Phoenix in Joker. Even snapping photos of themselves dressed in full clown suits, dancing and voguing along the meme-plagued stairwell. Meme plague. I love it. The steps between Shakespeare and Anderson Avenue has become such a landmark, in fact, that the staircase even has its own Instagram location tag, hashtag Joker Stairs.
Oh, God.
So here's Burger King.
Just kill me.
We know clowns can be annoying. But don't worry. If you live in the Bronx, use the code KINGSTAIRS on Uber Eats to get a free Whopper. And put on a happy face.
You know what's going to happen? A bunch of these fucking Joker tourists are going to put hashtag King Stairs in their fucking order and just order Burger King on Uber Eats to a fucking hotel or something.
Yep.
That they're staying in so they can do an Instagram shoot the next day.
For all the Bronxites who've had to politely dodge film fanatics in their daily route, or chosen to avoid the area altogether for a while, Burger King is promising to give one free Whopper to anyone who lives there. The promotion, which is tied to the film's DVD release, can be redeemed, blah, 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 blah. Many Bronx residents have taken to social media to beg relentless comic book fans to relinquish their neighborhood.
Oh, my God, these people.
If I'm ever in New York, I'm going to the Joker Stairs. I'm gonna do my obnoxious Joker Stairs fucking thing.
I'm not gonna go anywhere
and,
near.
And
the
a
Joker
lot of the people
stairs.
Taking those pictures, I highly doubt give a fuck about the Joker.
Woo, social media clout, bro.
Oh, there's a trend I can jump on. Look at me.
I'm doing it.
I'm just
the
as
Joker.
Cool.
I'm like the Joker.
I'm just as cool as that scene in the movie was. Look at me.
Wrong.
What a fucking blighted generation. Holy shit. We need to come up with a cool movie character that everybody wants to emulate that, like, jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
So these people will just drown themselves for Instagram likes.
Woo! Look how many likes I'm gonna get! Hashtag suicide. Hashtag Golden Gate fate. I don't know.
Hashtag jump now, bitch!
Daytona Transient pretends to be prosecutor, tries to drop charges against himself.
Hey... Dude, you can't fault him for the hustle.
I mean, he's trying, dude.
He's
that's,
out there.
That's,
he's doing...
that's an original idea right
that's
there.
The hustle right there that a
oh,
lot
no,
of people don't have
legit.
Anymore.
This guy's legit. This guy's legit.
I've heard of people actually have gotten away with shit like this, though.
Christian Mosco filed a fake document via computer using prosecutor's identification in attempt to drop criminal charges against himself.
Nice.
Christian Eugene Mosco came up with what appeared to be a surefire way to win his criminal case in which he was accused of threatening or extorting John Hall Chevrolet, a report said. Mosco declined to file criminal charges against himself, the report said. Only problem is Mosco can't do that for at least two very important reasons. First, he is the person charged with the crime. And second, Mosco is not a prosecutor or even a lawyer.
A tiny wrinkle in his prop.
Mosco, 47, is now facing a slew of additional felony charges that could end up sending him to prison for decades, including impersonating a prosecutor and practicing law without a license. Mosco is listed as a transient in an arrest report, but his current home is the Volusia County Branch Jail, where he is being held without bail.
Oh, man, I was hoping to be Manatee County.
Those charges are on top of the second-degree felony Mosco was already charged with of threats or extortion after investigators say he emailed John Hall Chevrolet in Daytona Beach in May 2019 and demanded $50,000 and a 2019 Chevy Malibu in exchange for not revealing 2 years' worth of sales records containing customers' social security numbers. Mosco said he found the records, but Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood... Chitwood told a TV station at the time he believed the records were stolen. Mosco was arrested and charged with threats in the John Hall case. So basically, this fucking champion right here, after his theft and extortion scheme failed, he's like, I know how to get out of this.
He'll just send a mess. I'll just send a message. You know, I'm a lawyer. I'm the prosecutor, and we're dropping all charges against this poor innocent victim here.
More people need to try this, dude. More people need to just, like, when they walk into the courtroom, just sit down on the prosecutor's side and go, the state wants to drop all charges.
Didn't Mickey the Rat get away with that?
He did. That's how I get out of everything.
See, you know how people actually succeed in doing this, though? What they do is they order their release from jail. And usually the people that run those jails aren't the brightest people, and sometimes it actually works. They get released.
Nice.
Smart move.
See, you don't try to do the legal system. It's a bunch of lawyers. They're probably like, what the fuck? Now, prison guards and shit like that, they're just going to go, like, oh, whatever. He's time to get released.
Yeah, it doesn't release him. Let's let him go.
Yeah. Come on. It's a much easier route. You don't go with lawyers. You go with fucking regular people.
Lawyers might actually be sharp. They might look at this and be like, hey, wait a minute. But prison guard, jailhouse fucking local.
Yeah. The county lockup ain't checking his fucking thoroughly.
Let's see. It says let him go, so.
Guess we got him.
Let him go, I guess.
You're free to go.
It's like that scene in Idiocracy where he's like, where he just walks up to the guard. It's like, I'm actually supposed to be in that line of the people leaving.
Get over there.
Get over here, you moron. You know?
Hey, here's a shocking story. I was surprised to learn this. Being wealthy adds 9 years to life expectancy, says study.
That is a shocker.
Can you believe it? I wonder what the common fact. I mean, like, obviously it's wealth, but I mean, like, I wonder how does being wealthy, like, contribute to a longer life? It's just so strange. Being wealthy adds 9 years to healthy life expectancy, a life free from disability and pain, according to Transatlantic Research. The 10-year study conducted across the UK and US looked at all the social and economic factors behind the reasons why people sink into ill health as they age. We found that socioeconomic inequalities in disability-free life expectancy were similar across all ages in England and the US, but the biggest socioeconomic advantage in both countries and across all age groups was wealth, said Dr. Paola Zaninotto.
Zaninotto, TJ, come on.
Zaninotto, a professor of epidemiology and healthcare at University College London, which led the research. Published on Tuesday in the Journal of Gerontology, the data from 10,754 UK adults age 50 and older and 14,803 U.S. adults age over 50 examined how long people can expect to live free from disability and to what extent socioeconomic factors play a part. And apparently they do play a part because they found that, you know, it sounds like they're not just talking about living longer. They're talking about living longer, like living better for longer.
Oh, better,
like,
and longer.
Well, because one of the biggest killers of people in the country is stress, which, you know, like when you have enough money to cover your bills and then some and do whatever you want, you don't have as much of as the person who's living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck.
Well, the country with the longest life expectancy is actually the second smallest country in the world, boasts the highest life expectancy, which is Monaco, with citizens living an average of 89.4 years.
And Monaco is super rich.
It's super rich, dude. It's one of the wealthiest. I mean, it's a tiny.
You pretty much can't live there unless you're rich.
Yes.
It's basically just like the Isle of the Rich or whatever.
And that just shows you the average life expectancy there is almost 90.
Is Monaco? Monaco's not an island.
No, it's a small principality.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you guys want to live longer, better lives, simply get wealthy.
Just be really wealthy.
Yeah, all you need to do is get rich.
And then move to Monaco and live to the ripe old age of 90.
So I got some bad news, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Even when sober, frequent marijuana users are dangerous drivers, report finds.
Uh-oh, man.
Even when, like, sober, some heavy marijuana users are dangerous drivers, a new study suggests.
Whoa, TJ, look, dude, I drive horrible sober, but when I get baked, I drive even better.
Whoa. The bad driving appears to be isolated to those who started using pot before age 16. Well, I didn't, so.
Yeah, neither did I.
Research.
Did. Yeah. Oh, shit, Paul.
Oops. Paul, that's why you're such a bad driver,
sorry,
Paul.
Sorry, y'all.
Researchers reported Tuesday in Drug and Alcohol Dependence. The theory is that early marijuana use changes the brain, leaving people more impulsive and more apt to make rash decisions.
This sounds just like Paul.
Damn.
In the new study, which tested participants in a driving simulator, researchers from McLean Hospital in Boston found that sober cannabis users who started off using the drug in their teens had more accidents, drove at higher speeds, and cruise through more red lights compared to people who had never used marijuana. I want you to let those people smoke and then take it again.
They're not even.
I want to see what they do high.
They're not even claiming. Yeah, they're not even claiming that like high driving is bad. They're just saying that if you regularly smoke, even when you're sober, you're a worse driver.
Well, it seems to say that it only applies to people who smoked at a young age, though. So it's not even like heavy marijuana users so much as it is people who smoked young.
Well, this basically says it right here. It said, this research suggests that early exposure to cannabis may result in difficulties performing complex cognitive tasks, said co-author Stacey Gruber, an associate professor of psychiatry and director of marijuana investigations for neuroscientific discovery at Harvard Medical School and McLean Hospital.
I mean, so, they call it a theory there in the second paragraph. I mean, come on. I got a theory. Everybody should give me all their money. There you go. Is that just, a, you know? Come on. I want some hard evidence here because this just sounds like bullshit scare tactics to me. Just sounds like another way to justify the criminalization of something that should have been fucking legal all along.
Well, it's just one study. I mean, you can't take one study and say, oh, this proves it. Obviously, this had to be replicated over many
studies. This is not new information. I mean, it was already known that, you know, if you smoke marijuana during your brain's formative years, it can do stuff like this. There's been numerous studies.
Says you.
And that's why
I ain't read none of those studies.
And that's why you need to wait until you're 25.
I was smoking weed in my early teens, and my brain
bullshit,
is fine.
Paul's
fine.
Paul's in a crib smoking fucking.
Paul was born with a joint in one hand,
yep,
and a bong in the other.
Yeah.
Mama, we can't. Pa smoke weed now. Pop brownie, mama.
So you guys want to, you know, there was some bad news for Paul. But you know what?
This ain't bad news for me.
It's bad news for you, Paul. It's bad news.
But you know what, TJ? In Paul's defense,
you're too mentally enfeebled by your marijuana to realize how bad it is.
Hold up, TJ.
Yes.
In Paul's defense,
yeah,
Paul does not like driving. He's tried to avoid driving for many years.
That's fine.
If I could have a fucking chauffeur, I would.
So, but here's a good news story for you, Paul.
Hey!
Women prefer men with beards as they're seen as more dominant and attractive.
See, this is something that we men with beards have known all along. So this is news to people without beards, but to me, this is just reality.
A study carried out by the University of Queensland found that almost all women preferred men with full beards, but those who didn't had a fear of parasites.
Oh, so there's a little subset of women that think we got lice in our beards.
Yeah,
ladies, let me tell you something. All right, there's no lice in this fucking beard. You come, you put your nose, you nuzzle up against this beard, and you inhale. It's gonna be like you're standing in the middle of some pristine woods at dawn when the dew is still covering everybody. Just smells like pine trees and sap. It's wonderful, and I am dominant. I am more dominant and more attractive than your average man. And the bigger my beard gets, the more dominant and the more attractive that I get.
The more resplendent the beard.
And ladies know this. Ladies know this. I'm not telling them anything they don't already know.
A study has discovered that women are more attracted to men who have beards. The research showed this is the case because beards made men seem more physically and socially dominant. However, they were not seen as a sign of cleanliness. And so those women...
Neither is being manly.
That's true.
That's the thing.
Men are not clean.
No. We're not supposed to look clean. Now, I'm clean as fuck, but I don't look like it. I look dirty and stinky. That's what a man looks like.
So those women who did not like hairy faces may have been turned off by the fear they may contain fleas or lice.
Fleas or lice in a beard?
Fleas,
bro. You
know
how much your beard would fucking itch if you had fleas or lice? And, Paul, what do
you
keep doing?
Pubic lice?
Those same women who preferred a shaven face were found to be the most afraid of parasites such as pests like ticks or pubic lice. The study was conducted of almost 1,000 American women who were quizzed about their attitudes towards facial hair and their partners. Researchers at the University of Queensland in Australia showed 919 women who were between the ages of 18 and 70, 30 images of different men. The men's faces had been photographed with a full beard, without a beard, and after being photoshopped to appear either more masculine or more feminine. The features which most clearly indicated a masculine face were a protruding brow ridge, mm-hmm, a thick jawline, deeply set but narrow eyes, and widened cheekbones. When the participants were shown the images, they had to rate their attractiveness for both a long-term relationship and a short-term relationship on a scale from 0 to 100. In the results, it seems that the hairier the face, the more attractive the photo was rated.
That's right.
Men with a more masculine, bearded face were rated the most attractive by women for both relationship lengths.
Damn.
In almost all scenarios, the more facially masculine photos were rated as more attractive than the feminized photos.
That's right.
The research team, led by PhD student Tessa Clarkson, recommended several reasons why this could be. Firstly, masculine faces signal a physically stronger and more socially dominant male.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, facial hair emphasizes masculine traits like a large jaw, while also hiding unattractive parts of the face.
I mean, you guys have heard me talk about that endlessly, how this beard is basically just a skirt for my face to hide what's underneath it.
White guilt Paul, and we've seen bearded Paul, and obviously Paul's making the wise decision here. He's growing with the full fucking beard.
I mean, when I shave my beard, I get called lesbian TJ. So.
Oh, yeah, dude, you need to keep a beard.
Do you have any idea how many pairs of panties have been ruined by this beard alone, TJ?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've got the numbers for you.
Oh, you've got them?
Yes.
Wow.
10 million pairs
TJ,
of panties.
Look at that story, TJ. Look at the what's hot. Outrageous first transgender kid's doll.
They have a doll that's a girl
with a dick. Doll with a dick.
A dick doll girl with a dick. What?
TJ, click on that story, right. TJ.
We got to see
doll with a dick, dude.
Outrageous first transgender kid's doll with penis and dress spotted in toy shop.
Yes.
Warning, graphic content. The small doll has divided Russians after it was spotted in
Planeta Igushek,
Planet of Toys shop in Siberian city of Novosibirsk. A transgender children's doll believed to be the world's first has gone on sale in Russia, of all fucking places. The doll, pictured with a penis and wearing a dress, sparked debate after being spotted in a Siberian toy shop. Pictures of the doll at the Planeta Igrushek.
In the city of... Go ahead, TJ.
Shop in the city of Novosibirsk went viral after being posted online. The images show the doll with long blonde hair and apparently female face, it is shown wearing a red dress and what appears to be male genitalia underneath.
Oh, what the fuck, dude?
They gave it a dick.
Baby doll with a dick.
Oh, boy.
So anatomically correct dolls are weird to start with.
Yeah, I mean, like, dolls are all flat down there.
Dolls
typically.
Got a nut sack, dude.
Like, fucking Barbie doesn't have a big pair of pussy flaps.
Yeah,
you know
right.
I mean?
And also, this doll, just on its own, putting aside the penis or the trans issue stuff, this doll is just creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
I mean, its head is gigantic in comparison to its fucking body.
Why did someone think to look at see if the doll had a dick, though?
Yeah, it's like someone's like, this doll looks weird to
me.
Let's see if it's got a dick.
The answer is yes. The doll does have a dick.
Photos of the progressive Russian doll have sparked mixed reactions in the socially conservative country where LGBTQIA rights are heavily restricted. Many took to social media to express their feelings about the doll. One user, Revazarnisk, said, "Is it okay to produce toys like that for children?" Another, Gerard, suggested, "All they have to do is buy a medical toolkit and the kid can learn how to amputate."
Oh. That's a good point.
But others took a more hardline approach. Lordex wrote, "I think it is really terrible what is going on in this child's parents' head. Have you considered that it could simply be a manufacturing defect or they accidentally put a female head on..."
Why are they putting cocks and pussies on kids' dolls, though? That's the whole thing.
And Tverdoyora Zalaklabalibadebugajuga added, "I believe this is a liberal attempt to change the society."
You're damn right it is.
While Barabanyech123 commented, "All you have to do is cut the doll's hair and change it into a pair of pants."
Oh, there you go. I mean,
some assembly required to make this doll conform to your conservative values or whatever.
Dude.
The doll is the first of its kind, spotted in Russia, and thought to be among the first child transgender dolls in the world. In 2018, a transgender doll divided... Well, how is it... If it's... You can't say it's the first when you know
of
a story.
It's among the first.
Among the first. Okay. So I guess in September 2019, Mattel announced the debut of the first ever gender-neutral Barbie doll. As far as I'm concerned, they've always been gender-neutral because they've never had genitalia.
Yeah.
There's really no reason for a doll to have genitals.
Let me tell you, I've pulled down a lot of Barbie dolls' pants in my day, and I ain't never seen genitals, not once.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've never once gotten a glimpse of Barbie's pussy flaps, so. Seems like this whole issue could be avoided if we just kept
What about Ken's
that.
Balls, though?
Yeah, never seen Ken.
You ever seen Ken's balls?
Bulbous. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be crazy? You, like, pull down a Ken doll's pants, and there's a big swinging fucking cock, you know? Like, goddamn.
I'd love it.
I see why Barbie's with Ken.
You know what? I was against this at the beginning, and now I'm for it. Dicks for dolls. Hashtag dicks for dolls.
I think we just need to put dicks on all of them. Barbie's got a big swinging dick.
I think stuffed animals, too.
Dude, imagine, like,
teddy bears should have big old bear balls and cocks.
All the toys you grow up with, like the Ninja Turtles, like they got the fucking big old turtle dick.
Yeah, you take the shell off and there's some dick and balls back there.
Yeah.
Pull Shredder's big fucking spiky cod piece off and his big dick comes flopping out.
Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is for us. The good news is the pleb section is over. We can stop phoning it in.
Thank goodness.
The bad news, if you're a pleb, is that you don't get to watch any more of what we do today.
It's over with.
Sucks to be
it's,
you.
The show's over for you. How can you change?
You know,
your
my favorite
fate?
Thing is about this new like, war that we've caused between the plebs and the non plebs.
What's that?
There's always like at least one or two salty plebs on the public video going like, "I really hate all this shame to people that don't pay." And it's just like cry me a fucking river, bitch.
Hold on, man. Hold on.
Cry me a river.
We need some fucking sad violin music.
That's what I was doing. I'm pulling it up.
You know what though? You have to give this show one thing.
Let's understand the plight of the pleb.
Plight of the plebs.
Plight of the plebs.
The flight of the plebs.
It's like they make something that it costs them money to make, and they want me to pay for it. But all I want to do is just consume everything for free. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pirate this show. You know what you're doing, DFF? You're pushing people like me to pirate the show. Is that what you want?
You poor little fucker, man.
Come here. Let's hug him.
Oh, God. Why?
Now, you know all what?
Right, so here's what you stupid fucking plebs are missing.
No, I want to say something first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Look, a lot of shows, a lot of people on the internet, they hide their greed. They hide their avarice. They hide the fact that they're assholes.
Not we us. Wear it on our sleeve.
We wear it on our sleeve.
We let you know.
So you know what? You might be able to criticize us and be like, these are some greedy fucks, but at least we admit it.
And we're honest greedy
At least
fucks.
We're honest. We don't bullshit you like
That's
every
better
other
than
fucking
a lot of other
YouTube
people.
Channel. So here's what you're going to miss. You're going to miss a couple trailers. We're going to look at the trailer for some movie called Bloodshot.
Ooh, that sounds like a good movie.
We're going to look at the trailer for Morbius.
Morbius.
We're going to look at the trailer, the second trailer for the Birds of Prey movie.
Oh.
We're going to look at some Rick Wiles. We're going to look at some crazy stories such as, HOA in Arizona forcing teen who lost both parents out of 55-plus community. We're going to look at some Iran shit. We're going to look at some crazy stuff with some Jets. We're going to do a George Zimmerman update. I think I said Zimmerman. I meant Zimmerman.
Zimmerman. He's
Zimmerman. George Zimmerman. We're going to do the world's best tornado, some sword battles over a divorce.
Neat.
We're going to look at some tourism fails and some automation stuff that's going on. And that's all that we're going to do all that
all
and more
shit.
On the next part of the show. So
become a patron.
You don't get to see it because you're a pleb little bitch. But
you
if
do
you wanna,
if you cough up at least $5.
If you want to stop being a little bitch.
Cough
join
up
our,
$5.
Yeah, just join our Patreon.
Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried. Deep fat fried.